The book I have here is an old King James Bible that has been in my mother's family for several generations. And this King James Bible has the Apocrypha in it. And I want to read some things from that this evening, because I think there's some very good things in that book that we don't normally have access to. Our brother Mike this morning said that it was over several weeks that he got bits and pieces of his sermon. Well, I had a verse coming up to Saturday morning, and that was it. What I thought might be fitting. And I don't like to wait that long. The day before I preach, I like to have things in order, and if I have a chance to kind of look at it and polish it up, fine. But Saturday morning I got up and things fell into place. And I don't think it's always by accident that things fall into place like that. I think I had a little help. Because this verse that I had was from the Apocrypha. And the book in the Apocrypha is Esdra. And this verse was in the fourth chapter. And I'd gone down through the fourth chapter and I thought, oh, there's some good things here, but this isn't going to fit what I want. Then I look back at the third chapter. And that's what I want to read to you right now, because it gives a little overview of the history of Israel. And it starts out in, it says, in the 13th year after the ruin of the city, that city being Jerusalem, I was in Babylon. You know, if you read in the Bible, you read of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These men were also in that captivity. After Jerusalem was destroyed, they had been taken into Babylon. And here Ezra is also in captivity. And lay troubled upon my bed, and my thoughts came up over my heart. For I saw the desolation of Zion, and the wealth of them that dwelt in Babylon. I know I've preached before, where I have compared Babylon to the world. We're in the world. We're in a captivity to Babylon. It's not exactly the same kind of captivity, but we are in captivity in Babylon. So I think there's a parallel here. And I'll try to point out some of those as I go along. And Ezra goes on and says, and my spirit was sore moved, so I began to speak words full of fear to the Most High, and said, O Lord, who bearest rule, thou speakest at the beginning, when thou didst plant the earth, and that thyself alone, and commandest the people, and gavest a body unto Adam, without soul, which was the workmanship of thy hands, and didst breathe into him the breath of life, and he was made living before thee. And thou leddest him into paradise, which thy right hand had planted before the earth came forward. And unto him thou gavest commandments to love thy way, which he transgressed. And immediately thou appointed death in him and in his generations, of whom came nations, tribes, people, and kindreds out of number. And every people walked after their own will, and did wonderful things before thee, and despised thy commandments. By the way, you know that they had the commandments of God even back then. They knew what the commandments were, but they despised the commandments, it says here. And again, in process of time, thou broughtest the flood upon those that dwell in the world, and destroyest them. And it came to pass, in every of them, that as death was into Adam, so was the flood to thee. Nevertheless, one of them thou leftest, namely Noah and his house with his household, of whom came all righteous men. And it happened that when they that dwelt upon the earth began to multiply and had gotten them many children and were a great people, they began again to be more ungodly than the first. Now when they lived so wickedly before thee, thou didst choose thee a man from among them whose name was Abraham. You've heard that name from this pew many times. Him thou lovest, and unto him only thou showest thy will. And madest an everlasting covenant with him, promising him that thou would never forsake his seed. And we remember the promise that was given to Abraham. And unto him thou gavest Isaac, and to Isaac also thou gavest Jacob and Esau. As for Jacob, thou did choose him to thee, and put by Esau. And so Jacob became a great multitude. And we know that Isaac and Jacob also received a blessing. And by the way, we know that Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And it came to pass, when thou leddest his seed out of Egypt, thou broughtest them up to Mount Sinai, and bowing the heavens, thou didst set fast the earth, movest the whole world, and madest the depths to tremble, and troubleth the men of that age. And thy glory went through four gates of fire, and of earthquake, and of wind, and of cold, that thou mightest give law unto the seed of Jacob, and diligence unto the generation of Israel. God did things. He made things happen, trying to get Jacob's attention, not just Jacob, because it was the people of his seed, trying to get their attention and letting them know that they needed the Lord and needed to turn to him. And yet, tookest thou not away from them a wicked heart, that thy law might bring forth fruit in them? For the first Adam, being a wicked heart, transgressed and was overcome. And so be all they that are born of him. All they that are born down through every generation, even to this time. Thus infirmity was made permanent. And the law also in the heart of the people with the malignity of the root, so that the good departed away and the evil abode still. So the times passed away and the years were brought to an end. Then thou didst raise up a servant called David, whom thou commandest to build a city unto thy name, and to offer incense and oblations unto thee therein, which this was done many years than they that inhabited the city forsake thee. And all things, this is bringing it close to the time that Ezra was talking about here, and all in all things did even as Adam and all his generations had done, for they also had a wicked heart. And so thou gavest the city over into the hands of thine enemy. Babylon was able to come in. Nebuchadnezzar was able to come in and capture them and brought many of them into captivity. As I said before, Daniel being among them. So Ezra then goes on and makes a statement here, and this is the 28th verse. It says, are their deeds, the deeds of those in Babylon, then any better that inhabit Babylon, that they should therefore have dominion over Zion? Are they any better than us? Is the world any better than us that they should have dominion over us? For when I came thither and had seen impieties without number, then my soul saw many evildoers in this 13th year, so that my heart failed me. For I have seen how thou sufferest them from sinning, and hast spared wicked doers, and hast destroyed thy people, and hast preserved thine enemies, and hast not signified it. I do not remember how this way may be left. Are they then of Babylon better than they of Zion? Or is there any other people that knowest thee beside Israel? Or what generation has so believed thy covenants as Jacob? Ezra was troubled that his people were in captivity. And he was pleading with the Lord. Are they any better than your people, the people of Israel? And yet their reward appeareth not, and their labor hath no fruit, for I have gone here and there through the heathen, and I see that they flow in wealth, and think not upon thy commandments. Do we see that today? We go out and see those people out there, a lot of them, have a great deal of wealth. The people in the world often look like they're a lot better off than a lot of the people of Israel. And you know, I am equating us with Israel here, because I believe that we are of that bloodline of Israel. Every one of us, if we could trace our family back, I think we would be able to trace it back to Jacob or Israel. We are Israel. I know in my family tree, I've traced it back through Judah, but I'm sure it can be traced back, could be traced back through Joseph. Those are sons of Jacob. But that line was not as well known, so it would not be as easy to trace there. Most of the records probably have been lost a long time ago. At any rate, every one of us has that blood of Israel in us. I believe that. But we see these people that are out there that have not received something that we have received. And I want to turn to, I'm going to kind of save this Bible, it's in here too, but this is bigger print, so I'm going to look in here. And some of this was read this morning, but I think it fits what I want to bring out to you. This is in the 8th chapter of Romans. And I'm going to read a few verses here, starting with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is what we should be. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raises up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. But if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye to the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And 15 is the central theme here of what I want to bring out. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now that adoption, even though we are of the bloodline of Israel, Israel was lost among the nations. It was scattered there. And we are required to be adopted back into Israel, to be Israel, to be this spiritual, to have this spirit of life and the Spirit of Christ to be with us and in us. Adoption is necessary. It says in 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, and we are the children, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Did you hear that last verse? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, let's keep this in mind in the times to come. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And I want to turn to Galatians for a minute before I get back to Ezra. This is the fourth chapter of Galatians. 65. There it is. And starting with verse 1 there. And it's talking about heirs here. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. that we might receive that adoption back into the spiritual line of Israel. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? We are in bondage, just as Ezra was here. And we should be crying, just as Ezra was crying, to our Lord. Said back here in Ezra, and yet their reward appeareth not, and their labor hath no fruit. For I have gone here and there through the heathen, and I see that they flow in wealth, and think not upon thy commandments. Weigh thou therefore our wickedness now in the balance, and theirs also that dwell in the world. Compare us, who are have received this adoption, who are of Israel, to those in the world. He's saying, do that, Lord. Aren't we better than they in righteousness, in keeping thy commandments? Or when was it that they which dwell upon the earth have not sinned in thy sight? Or what people hath so kept thy commandments? Thou shalt find that Israel by name hath kept thy precepts, but not the heathen. Well, kept the precepts. How well, though? How well have we kept those precepts that we, when we were baptized, when we received this adoption, do we always keep the commandments of God as we should? Okay. That was Ezra's plea to the Lord. Now, when that happened, it says in the next chapter, and the angel was sent unto me whose name was Uriel, who gave me answer. Uriel gave him an answer. He received from an angel of the Lord an answer. And this answer, I think, fits us today. And this verse here is the one I had at the start. And said, thy heart has gone too far in this world. Does that fit us? Our heart has gone too far in this world. And then he says, and thinkest thou to comprehend the ways of the Most High? If our hearts go too far in the world, can we comprehend the ways of the Most High? Remember what God said, what was said in Galatians 4:9. It says, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? That adoption was to take us out of this bondage. And we desire to be back into it. I won't turn to it now. In Revelation 18:4, It says, talking about Babylon, it says, come out of her, O ye my people. Is that exactly the way it's stated? I don't remember. Maybe I better read that. That's Revelation 18:4. It's not too hard to turn to that. Talking directly to us. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye not receive of her plagues. If we don't want to receive of the plagues of the world, we must come out of her and not be partakers of her sins. We must not go too far in this world. If we can't comprehend the ways of the Most High God, how can we get that peace that we desire? How can we receive those blessings that we need and that He has for us? How can we receive that protection that's coming for those things that are coming upon the earth that were preached unto us last Sunday evening? You know, how can we really understand if we're not spiritual? Jesus spoke in parables. He spoke of spiritual things and they were not understood by many of the people who did not understand spiritual things. For example, he told Nicodemus that he must be born again. Well, we understand what Christ meant. He meant that second birth, that baptism, that laying down the life of the old man and coming up fresh and new and clean out of the waters of baptism and receiving the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands of His servants. We understand that. We understand a little more of the spiritual, but do we understand enough of it? I want to read just a few verses here in chapter 4 after that was the second verse that I looked at there. The 11th verse says, how should thy vessel then be able to comprehend the way of the highest and the world being now outwardly corrupted? To understand the corruption that is evident in my sight. Verse 21 says, For like as the ground is given unto the wood, and the sea to its floods, even so they that dwell upon the earth may understand nothing but that which is upon the earth. If we're of the earth, you won't understand spiritual things. Then answered I and said, this is Ezra, I beseech thee, O Lord, let me have understanding. Don't we all want that? That should be in all of our prayers, shouldn't it? Let us have understanding. For it was not my mind to be curious of the high things, but of such as pass by us daily. Didn't think of those things as spiritual things as he should have. I don't know if maybe that's a problem with most of us. Namely, wherefore Israel is given up as a reproach to the heathen, and for what cause the people whom thou hast loved is given over unto ungodly nations, and why the law of our forefathers is brought to naught, and the written covenants come to none effect. And we pass away out of the world as grasshoppers, and our life is an astonishment and fear, and we are not worthy to obtain mercy. What will he then do unto his name whereby we are called? Of these things have I asked. In the third verse, our third chapter here that I read earlier, in verses 14 and 15, he said that to Abraham he would never forsake his seed. And I said, we are of that bloodline of Abraham. And more importantly, we have been adopted back into the spiritual line that was established through his grandson, Jacob, that is Israel. Verse 26 says, then answered he me and said, the more thou searchest, the more thou shalt marvel. For the world hasteth fast to pass away. If the world was hasting fast to pass away then, we've got to be on the very brink at this time. We've got to be on that very brink. And cannot comprehend the things that are promised to the righteous in the time to come, for this world is full of unrighteousness and infirmities. And if we're too much in the world, will we be able to comprehend as we should? Skipping down, it says, for the grain of evil seed has been sown in the heart of Adam from the beginning, and how much ungodliness has it brought up unto this time, and how much shall it yet bring forth until the time of threshing come? We can look back. We're almost to that time of threshing, I believe. And we can look back and answer that question. It's been a tremendous amount of evil. And when the ears shall be cut down, which are without number, how great a floor they shall fill. Then I answered and said, how and when shall these things come to pass? Wherefore are years few and evil? Did not the souls of the righteous ask questions of these things in their chambers, saying, how long shall I hope on this fashion? How long shall we hope? And we, you know, we do the same thing. How much longer are we going to have to endure some of these things that are upon us? I'm sure. When cometh the fruit of the floor of our reward? If we have been living righteously, when will that fruit come forth? Did not the souls also... okay, I read that. And unto these things Uriel the archangel gave them answer and said, even when the number of seeds is filled in you, for he hath weighed the world in the balance, by measure has he measured the time, and by number he has measured... numbered the times, and he doth not move nor stir them until the said measure be fulfilled, which I believe is just practically upon us. Then answered I and said, O Lord that beareth rule, even we are full of impiety, and for our sakes peradventure it is that the floors of the righteous are not filled because of the sins of them that dwell upon the earth. So he answered me and said, go thy way to a woman with child, and ask her of her, when she hath fulfilled her 9 months, if her womb may keep the birth any longer within her. Then said I, no, Lord, that can she not. And he said unto me, in the grave the chambers of the souls are like the womb of a woman. For like as a woman that travaileth maketh haste to escape the necessity of the travail, Even so do these places haste to deliver those things that are committed unto them. You know, I think this comparing that time, that we can compare this time that's just before us to that travail of a woman in birth. That travail they want the birth. They want the travail to get over. We're going to desire this travail that's shortly before us to be over. You know, the travail of the birth, then the birth, the joy. And so it will be with us. Great things are before us, but there will be a travail first. And if we're too much in the world, we won't comprehend those promises to come. And if we don't understand the promises, the glory will we be able to abide the time? In the second chapter of Joel, it seems like I have to turn to that every time. It was read last week, but I just want this part of one verse here. In Joel, the second chapter, verse 11, the last part says, "For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it?" I think we'll find it's only those who are the righteous, those who have come out of the world as we have been commanded, or those who have kept themselves pure from the world. I want to read one more thing here. And this is from another book in the Apocrypha, in a book called Tobit, and this is the 13th chapter. And I want to read that. It says, "Then Tobit wrote a prayer of rejoicing and said, Blessed be God that liveth forever, and blessed be his kingdom, for he doth scourge and hath mercy. He leadeth down to hell and bringeth up again. Neither is there any that can avoid his hand." Confess him before the Gentiles, ye children of Israel, for he has scattered us among them. Who are the Gentiles? In this day and age, they are the unbelieving, or those who have not accepted the truth. There declare his greatness and extol him before all the living, for he is our Lord, and he is the God of our fathers, Father forever. And he will scourge us for our iniquities. Ouch. He will scourge us for our iniquities. And we'll have mercy again. Praise him. And he will gather us out of all nations among whom he has scattered us. And if ye turn to him with your whole heart, here's the key, and with your whole mind, and deal uprightly before him, then will he turn unto you and will not hide his face from you. Therefore, see what he will do with you, and confess him with your whole mouth, and praise the Lord of might, and extol the everlasting King. In the land of my captivity do I praise him, and declare his might and majesty to a sinful nation. O ye sinners, turn and do justice before him. Who can tell if he will accept you and have mercy on you?" I will extol my God, and my soul shall praise the King of heaven, and I shall rejoice in his greatness. Let all men speak, and let all praise him for his righteousness. O Jerusalem, the holy city, he will scourge thee for thy children's works, and I will have mercy again on the sons of the righteous. Give praise to the Lord, for he is good, and praise the everlasting King, that his tabernacle may be builded in thee again with joy, and let him make joyful there in thee, let him make joyful there in thee those that are captives, and love in thee forever those that are miserable. Many nations shall come from far to the name of the Lord God with gifts in their hands, even gifts to the King of heaven. All generations shall praise thee with great joy. Cursed are they which hate thee, and blessed all be which love thee forever. Rejoice and be glad for the children of the just, for they shall be gathered together and shall bless the Lord of the just. O blessed are they which love thee, for they shall rejoice in thy peace. Blessed are they which have been sorrowful for all thy scourges, for they shall rejoice for thee when they have seen all thy glory, and shall be glad forever. Let my soul bless God, the great King, for Jerusalem shall be built up with sapphires and emeralds and precious stones, thy walls and towers and battlements with pure gold. And the streets of Jerusalem shall be paved with beryl and carbuncle and the stones of Ophir. And all her streets shall say, Alleluia. And they shall praise him, saying, Blessed be God, which hath extolled it forever. My prayer is, that if we have not gone too far in this world to comprehend God, and if we have, that we can come out of her. Thank you.